You're listening to the Hove Vineyard podcast. To find out more about the Hove Vineyard Church, go to hovevineyard.co.uk.
Welcome everyone to part three in our vision series. It's so good for you to join us today. We're so thrilled that you're leaning in to what we have to say today. We're really, really excited about all that we've been able to share the last couple of weeks, all that God is doing with us, and all the things that are going to be happening in the future. And what we want to do today is really highlight and spotlight a bunch of things that you may not know about or you may have never even thought about, yet are so, so important to the life of our church community. I'm here with two incredible people, Alex Cook and Fee Watson, two of our trustees, and it's really great to have you here in our socially distant studio. And I don't know what you guys think, but I would say that a trustee is maybe one of the most hidden and unseen roles in the life of the church, and yet one that is so vital to the health and the flourishing of our church community. So we've got a few questions to throw to you both today. I think the first, by way of introduction, the first thing we need to know is who are the trustees? And what does a trustee do? Over to you, Fee.
Thanks, John. So as John's already introduced myself, my name's Fee, I'm one of the trustees. I've got a background in finance and property, and for the last couple of months, I've been homeschooling my two children, along with a lot of the rest of the country and the church. Then we've got Alex here, he's the chair of the trustees. By day, he works as a lawyer within corporate litigation. John is also a trustee, being senior pastor. And then we've got two others. We've got Janice Farley, who's been a member of the church for the last 27 years and has worked in adult education and management. And then Chris Whitelock, who's been a part of the Vineyard movement for a huge amount of years and runs a renewables business in Hull. In terms of the responsibilities of the trustees, we're responsible for stewarding the resources the church has. So that's mainly the finances, but it's also things like this building, ensuring that it's kept in good condition and run well. We also make sure that we stay compliant and we stick within all of the legal requirements as us as a charity. And we also enable John and Joni to outwork the vision that they have within the parameters of the finances that we have and the legal requirements.
That's super helpful. Anything to add on that, Alex?
Yeah, I guess I would just step back a little bit and start to think about it in terms of spiritual leadership and how our role fits in with that. As a church, as a movement, we have an Episcopalian leadership structure, which essentially means that John and Joni as leaders are spiritually accountable to others in the movement who are in authority over them. Our role as trustees is effectively to support that with some of the more mundane day-to-day stuff. So we're not going to get involved in sort of detailed spiritual leadership. We're more focused on making sure, as Fiona was saying, that John and Joni have got the tools to do what they need to do to lead the church, to sort of push it forwards into its vision. Now, that's not to say that if we see the church going off on a bit of a tangent, we won't say, well, hang on a second, what's going on here? Because our role is to sort of ensure the security and functioning of the church. But it's more of an operational role than a spiritual one, although it does have a spiritual element. Now, between us as trustees, I was trying to add this up earlier. I don't know quite how much we got in terms of time in the vineyard. I reckon it's somewhere between 80 and 110 years.
Yeah, easily.
So we've been around a long time. We all share the heart of the church and are sort of heavily invested in its success for future. But what I wanted to do is just share a bit of a story about how the interaction should really work between church leadership and the trustees. And it's a story about myself, which I apologise and slightly embarrassed, but be that as it is. So I don't know, it'll be sort of 2 or 3 months ago now, probably slightly more, I felt quite strongly that the Lord has spoken to me about doing something with our compassion ministry. And I think it was probably off the back of what was in the news around school meals and a lot of kids going hungry during the lockdown period, where they weren't getting school meals from the schools. And so I thought about this for a while, and I sent John a note and said, listen, John, I'm maybe trespassing the boundary slightly between trustee and kind of pastoral leadership, but I think God's doing this. And John came back pretty much straight away with an email saying, that's amazing. We've just been thinking exactly the same thing. Josh and I are sort of meeting to talk about it. And so then I was able to say, well, that's great. Just have your discussions. And then anything we can do to support in terms of resource and enabling, then let's chat. And I think that was basically how the School Meals Project came about, wasn't it?
Yeah. And just to see the fruit of that just in the last couple of months has just been absolutely amazing, just from a sense of what God may be doing in prayer, and then just being able to put legs to that vision. It's been incredible. When we talk about the church, we often talk about the three C's, is that we exist, of course, for the cause of Christ. We do this thing in community. But there's a third element that maybe people listening to this don't think about, but actually we're a corporation. And that's why we talk about finances and governance and all these different things. And the reality is, in terms of being an organization and a corporation, this last year in the pandemic has been particularly challenging. Love for you guys just to share a little bit about some of the challenges that we as trustees have faced as an organization in terms of leading the church through that in this last year.
Yeah, well, I'm very happy to talk about that. So no doubt it's been a real challenge, not just for the church, for many people in running organizations over the past 12 months, I guess now. I think one thing that I'd quite like to do in my role as trustee before I sort of dive into this is just to recognize the amazing contribution that the staff have made over the past 12 months. I mean, they've stepped up to the plate in a way that we couldn't possibly have asked for, and that's been absolutely fantastic to see. So yeah, there are challenges, and maybe we'll talk about this in a second, but I actually, before doing that, want to sort of pull back a little bit and think about some of the opportunities that this has presented, because there's no doubt, as well as there have been challenges, there have been all sorts of opportunities. Now, they come in different guises. Obvious ones are probably around our compassion ministry, the doors that have been opened up for us to do different things with compassion, and the access that we've got through the pandemic has been a real opportunity. And I'll ask Fiona to talk about that in a bit more detail in relation to Grow Baby in a second. The other sort of obvious one worth mentioning is in the area of streaming and online services, online presence. I think if we'd spoken, I don't know, a year ago, we wouldn't have possibly have thought about doing anything like this. But the reality is that the pandemic has changed people's perception of online interaction, online church, just generally, in a way that we couldn't have imagined. And so we've sort of jumped on board with that. We've taken the opportunity to invest. And I think that, I don't know about you guys, but I don't think like that that we can ever go back from this in terms of online presence and streaming. So that's been an opportunity. Do you want to talk a bit about Grow Baby, Fee, and the opportunity that's
been? Yeah, so obviously it has been talked about over the last couple of Sundays in the stuff that John's been doing. Grow Baby's been a fantastic opportunity for us to serve our local community. It's definitely an opportunity that has come out of a challenging time. It's something that I'm involved in personally. I'm involved in it once or twice a week. And we just love the fact that we can use our building, which we haven't been able to use on a Sunday, for something else, as well as the food parcels, for us to expand that. And it's something that we will look to do more of in the future and hope to expand potentially into other buildings or other areas within the city.
Yeah, and just as you mentioned there, Fee, it'd be really good for you to just talk a little bit about some of the behind the scenes discussions, if you like, regarding the risks that we have to process. A lot of people think, the decision, say, not to meet on a Sunday is just something we just come up with in prayer and, oh, we should do this or not do that. But it takes a lot of thought and processing. And just talk to us about the challenge of that in terms of managing risk this last year.
Sure. So I think risk management and logistics has, as most people would expect, been the biggest challenge of the pandemic. I mean, in the first instance, we sort of back in March time, we were faced with the prospect of lockdown and home working that we imagined would be for a couple of weeks, I think, till we all got back into the swing of it. But none of us were really set up for home working within the church, so we had to manage the whole logistics around that and taking phone calls and post and laptops and all that sort of thing. So that's all right. I mean, that we got around that. The bigger challenge, I suppose, from a trustee point of view, is managing that desire of everyone to meet and the risks of doing so. Because for a long time, we've been allowed to meet. Places of worship have been exempt for a lot of the rules. We've been able to come here and gather, and we've taken advantage of that to an extent over the summer. I think we met quite a few times and had some great gatherings, although slightly different from what we used to. But we've had to juggle the fact that just because we could do something, we could meet, didn't necessarily mean that we should. And over the recent months, we've taken the decision that it would just be inappropriate and unwise of us to meet because of where the levels of infections were. And it just didn't seem the right thing to do to put people at risk in having these meetings. So that's what we've sort of done. We've tried to take a wise approach and balance the desire to be together and the need for the church community to be that community together with that risk management piece. And I mean, it's been a challenge, isn't it? Getting that right has been really difficult. And we've had to juggle things and sort of bat things backwards and forwards.
Yeah, and I think you make a really good point that wisdom and the pursuit of that is the most important thing, really. That while something's permissible, it's not necessarily the wise thing for us to do as a church. Yeah. So for us, it's really getting that balance between wisdom and what you can do as well.
Yeah, for sure. Now, when it comes to finances, that's really, really important in terms of how we steward our finances in church. And so I'd love for you just to share a little bit from your perspective about some of the key principles that you look to and lean into when it comes to managing our church finances in a healthy way.
Yeah. Want to go first?
There are a few principles that we apply. And if it's okay, I think if I highlight a few of the key ones, and then we'll just sort of talk about how they apply and what we do. So probably to give three overarching principles that are relevant. One is generosity. We are generous, and I think in many ways the call of a life with Christ is one of generosity. So that's kind of one founding principle. The second is prudence, in the sense that we want to make sure that we can pay our bills, want to make sure that we're investing for the future, want to make sure that John's not having to have a conversation with the staff one day saying no salaries this month. It's important that we maintain a prudent and wise approach to money. And the third one is transparency. We want to be transparent in what we do. Now, we are a charity, that's our structure, and so there are all sorts of reporting obligations and transparency regulations anyway, but we, beyond that, want to be an open book. And it's probably helpful for us to give a bit more detail on each of those. I'll start with the generosity one. This church was very much founded on, in fact, the Vineyard movement was very much founded on principles of generosity. Those of you who have been in the church or the movement for a while will have heard the story about Anaheim Vineyard, the building they purchased. Now, Anaheim was the first Vineyard church. It was started by a guy called John Wimber, who started the movement. And they were a very, very big church, very successful church. And they bought a building. Their church had been growing, and they bought this huge, lovely building. They decided they could afford it. They'd done all their budgets. They moved in, and then pretty much straight away, their giving just went off the cliff. They couldn't raise more money, and it got to the stage where they realised they weren't going to be able to pay their bills. They couldn't pay for the building. Now, the building had been sold to them by a sort of wealthy guy who owned all sorts of property. He had given them some quite favourable terms whereby they paid over a period of time for this building. And John, who was a leader of the church, just decided he was going to have to go to this guy and say, listen, we can't pay. I'm sorry. we'll move out, we'll hand the keys back, we'll get out of it, I'm really, really sorry. Anyway, he'd asked his secretary to make an appointment, but before she could do that, she got an email from this guy saying he'd like to meet John. And so obviously John Wimber's thinking, oh no, he's her, we haven't got any cash, she's going to tell me to get out. Anyway, he went along to this meeting, and he started telling his story and apologising and explaining that they'd move out. And the guy said to them, no, I think you've misunderstood, Mr. Wimber. I've asked you to come here today because I've told you there's no more money to pay. Because you are generous, because you give to the poor, you go into the prisons, you serve people, I've decided I'm going to give the building to you for free. And so that's sort of a practical outworking of the heart of generosity that we see in the movement. We always take the view that you can't outgive God. And so that sort of flows through into what we do in terms of ministries, in terms of giving, and in terms of the way we run our finances. We are open-handed, within the realms of prudence and being transparent, we don't want to hold things back because we don't think there's money. So that's probably the first founding principle.
Yeah, and then prudence. So as Alex alluded to earlier, then is ensuring that we keep our books balanced, that we can pay the staff. That's obviously an important part of what we do. It's also about making wise decisions and wise investments. So a really good example of that is how much money we try and save each year. We want to have a cushion. We want to have some reserves because things like COVID, thankfully that hasn't happened before, but there are bumps in the road. There are things that can come along which might mean that we need to invest money. It also means that we've got some money set aside if we want to do new projects, which will cost money. And then transparency. That's where I'm just going to spend a bit of time going through a few of the figures of our finances from the last year so you can get a flavour and idea of where our money sits. So if we could have a look at the income that the church has received. They've just got a slide here that you'll be able to have a look at. So the income falls into, in this slide, four main categories. We have our gift aid income. Now that is the income and the money that's given which relates to people who are taxpayers. So they give it and we can claim some of the money back. Non-gift aid income is for people who give who don't pay tax, so we're not able to claim that back. And then we have our tax refund. Now this is the gift aid money that we get back. And then we've got the Christmas offering. We've put that as a separate line because that's the money that you've given and we're almost like a vessel because it's been given straight out again in the amazing project that was the Christmas hampers. So the tax refund, as you can see here, is £38,000. Now that will increase, but we tend to just for the ease of the admin do that a couple of times a year rather than it being an ongoing process. So that gives us a total income there of just shy of £350,000. Now you'll see also that there's an extra line here, which is the sale of 383. Now for 383 was our previous building we had on Beverley Road, which is where we used to meet as a church and do our projects out of until we purchased this building. It had been rented by another church, but we've since gone on to sell it to another church. Some of you may have seen it when you've driven past, and it's fantastic to know that a church is using that and it's going to transform that area through Jesus and the gospel. What we've done with the sale of that money is that we have a mortgage on this building here, so we've used some of that to pay down some of the mortgage, and we'll be getting a small amount of additional income over the next 3 years from that as well. So let's spend some time now talking about the expenses. So as you can see from this slide, we've broken them down into seven sections. The top section, governance, the £14,000 that we've put aside for that is to cover the staffing costs for the legal and compliance and managing the finances on a day-to-day basis. And then we've got the six remaining categories, pastoral care, children and youth, outreach and giving, compassion, training and worship. Now, what we do with this, the cost for the rest of the staff and the cost of running the building, we've portioned that across all six categories because the staff work across all of those categories and the building is used for each of them. As you can see, outreach and giving is the largest figure that we spend money on. It's because outreach is a cornerstone, as we've been talking, of our church as well as generosity. And also you can see there the additional mortgage repayment, which I mentioned within the income section.
I think just to add to that, you mentioned 383, didn't you? The building that we call 383, which is 383 Beverley Road. And that's the building that we moved into a long time, 2001, I think we bought it. That was our previous home before we moved here. It's particularly close to my heart. I think I've crawled in pretty much every nook and cranny, every roof space, floor space of that building over the time we've had it. It's been a fantastic blessing to us. We've loved being there. And as Fee said, when we moved out of there, we entered into a lease with another church. The plan was originally that other church would lease it for 3 years and then buy it at the end of that period, but that didn't work out for them in the end. And so that was extended for a while. And towards the end of last year, it was bought by another church. And so as you'll have seen in the numbers, we got an income from that of 140,000. And there's another 30,000 to follow over the next 3 years, 10,000 a year for the next 3 years. And then we paid down a chunk of our mortgage on this building with that £120,000, and then put a further 20,000 into our reserves, our savings effectively. But as Fee was saying, I'll just sort of repeat the point she made. It's just fantastic to see it going to another church. I was involved with getting it on the market, and they were talking about childcare facilities, they were talking about conversion to residential, all that sort of thing. But the fact that it's being used as a church is just great news and advancing the gospel in that area. So, yeah, I think that's sort of a brief overview. Anything else on finances? Any particular jump? I suppose I should say, if anyone's got any specific questions on those details, then, as John said, email them to hello@holvineyard.co.uk, or if you've got our details, get in touch with Fiona or I, or the church can put you in touch.
Yeah, that is so good, guys. So we may have people in our church who are watching this, and I think what comes across as we listen to you guys is that the value of generosity is huge for us. And there may be someone who wants to start that journey. They're on that trajectory of discipleship, where they're reading the Bible, and they see that giving and generosity is so near to God's heart and so important for someone who wants to be like Jesus. So what would you say, really in practical terms, to those who want to start on that journey of giving and generosity into what we do as a local church?
Well, I'd first of all just echo what you say about generosity. I mean, completely agree. And we see that throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament particularly. Some of my favourite scriptures are the passage in Amos 5, where it talks about away from you with your songs, but tend to the widows and orphans, effectively. That's what God wants to do. I mean, Paul talks about it in Galatians 2, remembering the poor, the very thing that he was keen to do. And giving in generosity is, you're right, so foundational to who we are. But in order for us as a church to do that, as a kind of corporate entity, we've got to get the money from somewhere. And it comes, as Fiona was saying, from gifts from church members. And so in practical terms, the one thing that people can do to support that is to give. Now, I'm not going to go into a sermon on tithing. Happily do that
you did that just over a year ago and did a phenomenal job. In fact, we might re-release that podcast.
I've probably said something outrageous. I guess just a practical point, how to give, there you are. There's a slide that's popped up. There are various ways you can do it. In normal times, cash gifts through the offering baskets that go around or are placed at the end of rows, however it works in the service you're at, are one way to do it. You can give by text. The details are there. You sort of text the amount you want to give to that number. You can give online. Again, details are there on the slide. The easiest way for the church is to do it by standing order. That's the way the bulk of the income from the church comes, is by a regular monthly standing order. And the reason that's really helpful is it just allows us to budget, allows us to anticipate what's coming in, and therefore what we can spend. And that reminds me actually of a point I think that's worth making on transparency. Fiona's talked about transparency and how important that is to us. But to be clear, that doesn't extend to sharing details of who gives what within the church. We hold that very closely. That's entirely confidential. So even the bulk of staff members and leaders don't know what those numbers are. So I just wanted to give that reassurance, really.
That's amazing. Really helpful. Guys, we've looked the last couple of weeks in the Vision series. We've alluded to some of the exciting projects on the horizon. Be good just to hear from you guys regarding some of those things and your perspective about some of the projects we're looking to invest in this year. That'd be really good.
Yeah, I think it's exciting to think through how we can expand the compassion. You know, maybe down the line that would look like us having a separate facility, which I think would be a really great thing to have, as well as expanding the things that we already do. I'm sure that you've got lots of ideas and you've shared some of them, and there'll be more bubbling around in the background. So it'll be great to talk about that and see where it goes.
Yeah, well, our job as trustees is very much to facilitate and put in place, tools in order for the vision to develop. Ideas that we've been talking about over the past few months are focus, as Fiona says, around compassion and developing that, but also around the vision of home and welcoming people into our home and our community here physically as the church. And so we want to strike that balance between making this place welcoming and open, but not spending too much money over investing. And so there are a few ideas. The first to mention is the idea of expanding our outdoor kids space, some sort of playground, safe space area. Now that works in all sorts of different ways. It's great for kids on a Sunday morning when they come to play. They're crammed in the back there where they are at the moment. So it's good for them to be able to get outside. But also I love the idea of people being able to come to, say, Grow Baby. For those of you who don't know that much about Grow Baby, it's essentially clothes, baby equipment, nappies, all the stuff you need for families, for parents who really don't have anything, who just haven't got access to that sort of thing, to set them up. And I love the idea of families who may be vulnerable, who maybe live in an area that isn't safe, for them to be able to come here and for their family, their kids, to be able to go into the playground that we can set up. They can play safely. Their parents don't need to worry about whether or not they're safe. I just think it's a fantastic addition if we can put something like that in place to that ministry in particular, but also to family fun days, for example. So we've done that before with bouncy castles and stuff, and it's been great, but this site at the moment doesn't really lend itself that well to kind of outdoor family fun. It's basically a car park outside, and so if we can develop that a little bit and invest in it and make that a more welcoming atmosphere, that would be great, and that's a really exciting project. Other ideas on the table are just developing the cafe a little bit. We've been in here for 6 years, am I right? 6 years now,
yeah,
I think?
Six and a half.
Lose track, don't you?
You do easily, yeah. And so the cafe is getting a little bit tired now. It needs a lick of paint. So we're going to do that, change that round a bit, maybe create some areas so we can use it for this Grow Baby ministry, for other ministries in which we want to welcome people in and say sort of come and hang out in our home and be part of us. So those are just a couple of things that we're talking about investing in at the moment. There will be more, and ideas, suggestions are obviously always welcome.
Yeah, sure, definitely. Well, as we draw this to a close, we do a bit of a Q&A session. Mm-hmm. We got some really great questions sent through to the trustees from some people in our church. So we're going to start with a nice, easy one. Does the church tithe?
Great question. Well, we could do a whole series on whether the idea of tithing applies to the church as a corporate body. I think rather than go down that route, the way I'd like to answer it is to sort of talk about the principles we apply, the way we deal with giving. What we do is we have a chunk of money which we say in our budget, this is allocated to giving. That doesn't tie us to giving that amount, to just that amount. Because if you step back and think about who we are and what we are as a church, almost everything we do is giving. So the costs of the staff salary to run a soup kitchen, to run any kind of poor ministry event, to run any kind of, I don't know, grow baby, anything like that, all that is a cost that is being effectively given. The building is opened up, that's a cost that's being given. So everything that happens in the church in that sense is effectively giving. We do physically give away. We have that budget, as I say, of 10% of money. And so that gets pretty much spent every year and usually exceeded. And we're not tied to that. I mean, John and I had a conversation around the NLC offering just recently, didn't we? Every year at the National Leaders Conference, it's not called that anymore, what's it called now? The
National Leaders Gathering, was it?
Gathering.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it was online, wasn't it, this year? They do an offering, and that was for various things, but included church planting, and actually the movement was giving away to other movements. So we had a conversation around that, and we've given a gift to that, which is going to take us over our 10% budget. So we're not wedded to it, but it's there in order to facilitate us to be able to give away money. Now, sorry, that's quite a long answer to what
was
quite a short question, but the answer is we give away 10% more.
It's kind of not limited to that word in tithe.
Yeah, we don't frame it in the idea of tithing. Yeah.
That's amazing. Mm. Okay, well, let's go on to another interesting question. Are we in debt?
So when we bought this building 6.5 years ago, we took out a mortgage to help enable us to buy that, which was to run 15 years. And so we still have that in place. We've obviously just paid off a chunk of that with the sale of the old building from Beverley Road. So we do have a mortgage, but we do have this building which offsets it, similar to you having a mortgage on your home. It's a similar kind of scenario.
Yeah, and just to give the numbers on that. So when we took out the loans originally, the total was 600,000. Mm-hmm. That was the additional cost that we needed to buy and refurbish this building, in addition to all the very generous gifts that we got from the church. Now, that's been paid off over the years. At the beginning of the year, I think we owed about 440 left on that. We've paid off about 150 this year, so we're about 290 at the moment in outstanding debt, outstanding mortgage against this building. And as I mentioned before, or as rather Fiona mentioned, I think the charity accounts are on the Charities Commission website. So they're there if you want to look at them, and they show you kind of what we owe and basically how our assets offset that. And overall, we have a sort of net asset position, i.e. when you take the value of the building and everything that the church owns, and then you take away the mortgage from that, we have a net asset position of around £950,000. So our debt is very much in proportion to kind of our asset position and the income. So it's a sort of a healthy position.
Mm. Super helpful. And it's amazing. It's an amazing witness, I think, this building, to the generosity of the church.
Yeah.
When we have people come here to visit us, for instance, before COVID, we'd have school year groups come, and we have a day with them, and we share with them, we do a mock church service with them, and we give them a tour of the building. And every single person, you know, always asks the same question, like, okay, how did you fund the building of this? Like, you know, where did the money come from? Mm. And it blows people's minds that people just capture God's heart in vision terms, his heart for the city and what the church can do in the city. And then people sacrificed incredibly to kind of contribute to our building, which is just amazing. So a couple more questions, and here's a couple of questions regarding to really the pandemic and last year. First of all, has the giving gone up or down, and how has the last year impacted the church, positive and negative, financial or otherwise?
In terms of has our income gone up or down, then our income has stayed steady, really, which is amazing considering people's generosity. Lots of people have been going through tough times over this last year. So we've been able to expand things that we've done, which has just been great. What was the other question?
So yeah, has giving gone up or down? How has this last year impacted the church, positive, negative, financial, otherwise?
Do you want to add anything?
Yeah, well, I think we've got a graph that we can look at of income, just comparing it to our previous year. So this shows in yellow, it shows our last year's income, and in red, it shows this year's income. And you'll see that on both years, there are a few spikes. If you ignore those relate to tax reclaims that we do. As Fiona mentioned, we do them in chunks just for admin perspectives, and there'll be another one to follow that's not showing on there for this year, so there'll be another big red spike in the next month or two. When you look at this, it's really encouraging to see that generally the trend is for this income this year to be slightly higher than last year, which is amazing when you consider the challenges that people have faced in terms of jobs and income and risk of uncertainty to the future. I think we've seen some people reduce their giving as a result of their income going down. We've seen some people increase it. And I mean, the Lord's been great. We've had a number of external companies come to us and say, we're just going to give you some money in the pandemic. A lot of it connected to the compassion stuff we do. So that's been great. So I guess the overriding message is income is pretty much the same, maybe very slightly up. We don't know what it's going to be like for the future, obviously, but we're faithful. We're sort of just trusting in the Lord that it's going to continue. In terms of other challenges that it's brought, I think we've talked a bit about the risk management piece, the sort of uncertainty piece, and I mean, it's more one for you to talk to, John, in this or other sessions, but just how you run a church, how you kind of pastor people, how you encourage people, how you connect people virtually. I mean, there are all sorts of virtual tools, but I mean, a lot of people, they want to come and hug someone, don't they?
Yeah.
And be prayed for.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. I think the whole online thing is great to reach people who would never, ever think about coming to church. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that over this last year. Or people even struggle to come to church. So they'd like to, but they struggle to come to church. And so I think it's about widening the net in terms of reach. And again, in terms of investment, that's why this last year we've been able to invest in some great stuff in terms of cameras and lighting and various other things for us to kind of do online church. But, you know, nothing beats meeting in person. And actually, we're gonna leave it there. And just, I hope that the next time you guys are sharing all this stuff, we're actually in a room full of people doing multiple services, sharing this. And I'm sure that the next time we do this thing, it will be with people, because that's what we're really excited for and looking forward to seeing people again. So I just want to say to both of you, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing with us.
It's
been really inspiring, really helpful. And as we mentioned earlier, as well as, you know, prudence, generosity, one of our major values is transparency. And so with that, there's no such thing as a bad question. And so we want to say to you, if you have any question whatsoever relating to trustees and governance and finances, please, please, please reach out, send an email, can arrange a phone call, whatever, in these times. Send it to hello@hullvineyard.co.uk, and we will be in touch with you straight away. So from the three of us, thank you for leading in. Thank you for engaging with us. God bless you, and we'll see you soon. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Hull Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hullvineyard.co.uk/connect. And stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hullvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.